Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving Hauling, serving all Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640 and they'll send you a couple of guys. Welcome back to another action-packed edition of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. And Brian's like looking at me, action-packed.
It's supposed to be thrill-packed.
Thrill-packed, yeah. Thrill-packed, yeah. Action-packed. I guess I don't exactly know how it's going to be action-packed. Maybe Brian and I'll wrestle on air.
That's the problem, see? On, you know, when we're dealing with radio, you can deal with.
I could wrestle you, Brian.
But never know what he's going to see.
But Ron can do the commentary. Okay. And Ron's shaking his head. Right. He likes that idea. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Brian and Shane in the cage. Cage match. Death match. No?
Where are you getting this stuff?
Too much caffeine this morning.
Yeah. Well, we had breakfast this morning at Dutch Oven Bakery on Story Street in Boone.
The unofficial donut provider for Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Donut vendor for Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Diane Patrick over there took care of us. So, you are definitely caffeinated. You had coffee before that, then you had coffee there.
I'm drinking coffee now.
I see your big old mug here now. No wonder you come up with these silly ideas and wrestling in cages and other nonsense. But
nonsense.
Yeah, it's nonsense. Look. All I care about at the moment is I'm looking forward to the time when I can leave Iowa.
He wants to be a snowbird.
I do. I want to be a person of means that, you know, right after Christmas, I bail out of here, and I don't come back to Iowa until after Valentine's
Day.
Are
you going to go to Florida? Are you going to be at least somewhat unique?
No, I'm going to Texas.
Texas. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, that's a good place to go.
Governor Rick Perry would welcome you.
We have to escape the effects of global warming here, bud.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting razzed on Facebook. How come I'm looking forward to spring and they want me to enjoy the snow and enjoy the seasons? And I'm sorry.
It's fluffy white stuff I have to shovel from my driveway. I've never been into snow sports, so my three snow blowers at home, my children, is clearing my drive. That's the nice thing about having teenagers. I haven't had to shovel my driveway in probably about a year, so.
Well, I don't have to shovel a driveway. I don't care. I don't want to be here when the weather's like this.
But I don't blame you. Don't blame you.
I hear that you got mentioned in National Review.
Yes.
The print edition, right? Or is this the online edition?
I think it's both, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, kudos to you, buddy.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Surprisingly, somebody wanted to talk to me about Common Core. I don't know why. No. And being an Iowan, they definitely want to talk to me about Governor Mike Huckabee, who supported Common Core in the past. So check that article out. We're not going to talk about it on air, but you can check it out. And I think I'm going to probably write about some of the response I've been getting.
Yeah, but can I say to the entire world, not that they're all listening, of course, but may I just make the point that you do know one or two things about something other than Common Core.
It's kind of funny.
Wrestling in cages.
Exactly.
You know about and kids that are
Iowa
snow
Hawkeye
blowers
football. And, yeah. So I know a few things other than just Common Core, but that's. Yeah. Maybe I'll be asked about those things too. Probably not cage wrestling. I can't imagine I'll make National Review either.
No, I don't think so.
Anyway, I don't have a good segue to make here for our guest.
There's never a good segue from this nonsense that we talk about.
Exactly. But we have a special guest on the line, Joe Stevens. He's the founder of Joppa Outreach. I've been familiar, at least somewhat familiar with Joppa Outreach since for a while now. I remember first hearing about them when I worked with Serve Our Youth Network. I believe Joe came and spoke to a pastor's group I was at one day, but anyway, we wanted to talk to him, and I was thinking about this when we were talking about the cold. And certainly this time of year, Joe's ministry works with homeless folks in Des Moines, and this is definitely a hard time of year. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome, Joe.
Joe,
thanks,
are you there?
Thanks, hey. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, you're kind of getting me worried there, Joe, that pause. So.
I apologize. I'm still caffeinating myself.
Okay. All right. So, How long has Job Outreach been around?
We will be 7 years old this September.
Great. And kind of what? How did they get started?
Well, actually, my wife and my son are also founders, and our family just wanted to go out. We had my wife and I experienced a calling to serve the homeless in the 90s before our son Caleb was born. And so Jackie and Caleb and I just wanted to go out and as a family and do what we could to help. And we discovered so many unmet needs that one thing led to another, and we ended up forming Joppa Outreach.
Okay.
A family thing.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, so what are some of the things that Job Outreach does with the homeless community?
So we focus on homeless folks that are literally that are unsheltered and literally living under bridges, in tents, and in vehicles. And we go out to them, and we build relationships, and we meet immediate needs, and we try to help people get into housing. So we do outreach, we do housing, we do aftercare, education, and advocacy.
Okay. So basically, how many folks are you dealing with on any given year?
So the unsheltered, those that are living outdoors, will fluctuate. In the summer, of course, there's more people. There'll be roughly 200 people or so in the summer. And in the winter, that number hovers just over 100 or just under 100, right around 100.
Okay. And how many folks have you been able to get connected with housing?
We've been able to help 168 people off of the street so far since we started in 2008, and 91% of those are still in housing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Joe, talk about that at some length, if you wouldn't mind. Tell us what that involves, what you do, how you do it.
Well, it's a community effort. We work with the other agencies in town that provide housing, and we work directly with landlords and property owners as well. And we just try to help people get back into housing. And there are occasionally housing programs that we're able to participate in or help with that will allow folks to get into housing for a percentage of their income. And sometimes when their income is zero, that means they can get zero-cost housing for a period of time. But those programs are far and few between. And so typically, if there's no source of income, ongoing sustainable income, then it's very difficult to help people get into housing. So that's the first thing you've got to work on. If they've been on the streets long enough or they're on the streets because of some kind of disability, we're able to get them hooked up with disability and get them off the streets that way. But most of the folks that are on the streets are capable of working, and most of them want to work. And so mm-hmm. the issue becomes the challenging job market and how you help folks, how you coach them and help them. So we'll help with bus passes. We'll help try to set up interviews. We'll try to help open doors. We'll coach them, help them get fresh clothes or get cleaned up, whatever they feel they need to do to put their best foot forward mm-hmm. and help them get a job. And then we work with the property owners, and we're always looking for more rental units because they're so hard to find right now in the affordable housing arena.
And then, Joe, do you occasionally run into the individual or the family that says, look, I appreciate what you're trying to do here, but we're going to stay in our car, we're going to stay in our tent or whatever. We really don't want to – this is – we appreciate your help, but no thanks.
Yeah, well, we do run into some it's usually individuals rather than families in that situation. But, yes, we'll run into individuals from time to time. The percentage is much lower than people might imagine in terms of those people that really just want to be outside. Most folks do not. And, in fact, in terms of families, it's typically a situation where they're really living in fear and concern. As long as they're getting their kids to school, then they're probably going to be getting by, but they're living in fear that someone's going to declare them as not having a safe environment for their kids and take their kids away from them. So mm-hmm. we have a family of six right now that we've been working with. We discovered them. Someone tipped us off staying at Cherry Glen Campground just a few days. They'd been there for weeks, and they were there just a few days before Cherry Glen closed this year. And they didn't have a plan, and we've been working with them for a couple months now. And we hope to get them into their own house this weekend, but it's been, it's just a tough, the economy's tough, and the steps that somebody has to take to get back up out of homelessness are just sometimes overwhelming.
Definitely.
When you have this, sorry, Shane.
That's all right.
When you have weather like we're having right now, and you get in these kinds of situations, do you typically at that point say, have no objection from anyone? They all want to get inside.
Absolutely, and the shelters are the fire department is good in terms of letting the shelters let in overflow people when the weather gets bad. And of course, you guys probably know our our newest, nicest shelter here in town, largest shelter, has been on overflow since it opened. And so often there are, you know, if you do take advantage of that, you may not even get a chair to sit up in while you sleep. You may be sleeping on the floor or on a bench or something. But, yeah, what we do in the winter for those folks that can't get into a shelter, or they have, you know, there's some folks that are not qualified, or they have too much stuff, or they've been kicked out, or they're on their timeout. What some folks don't know is you can only stay in shelters in Des Moines for 30 days at a time, most shelters. And Central Iowa Shelter, the one I mentioned, will let you stay for 90 days, but you've got to be out for 90 days after that. And so depending on how you time that, if you thought it was cold when it first got cold in November, then you're going to be timing out here the end of January, early February, and that's a scary thing. So there are a lot of folks that just can't get into the shelter, and for that, what we do is we help with winter heat, and we'll get them a safe heater that will work in their tent. They're indoor safe, and we'll bring out 20-pound tanks of propane every week, and this particular week we've made midweek runs just to make sure everybody will stay warm and no one will freeze to death.
Yeah, how many homeless, because a lot of people I don't think realize, really, we do have kind of a significant population of homeless people in Des Moines. How large do you think that community runs?
Well, in terms of the folks that are in shelter right now, we have just over 100 folks that are out there living in the cold right now, that were out there last night and this week, and we'll be out there for the next several through the winter. And the population, you know, there are about 5,500 homeless folks in Polk County if you look at the numbers. But the way that those counts are done, you know, it includes not only folks at the shelters, but a number of other folks that are cohabitating as well. And so what we think about are those that are literally have no shelter. And that number fluctuates between, say, 100, 120 at the lowest, and goes up into the 200, 250 during the summer.
Definitely. And one of the things that really interested me about JAPA is that most homeless ministries, most homeless outreaches, well, it's more of shelter. It's not you come to us, but you're literally going out to them. And what types of place, where are you finding these folks?
You know, they are all over town. Most folks have probably heard about the evictions that have occurred in some areas.
Right.
Those evictions have not been across everywhere, and so folks move from one area to another area. We've got, you know, there are folks all over town. A lot of people congregate or try to stay near downtown Des Moines because there are so many places to eat and so many services available. But we have people out in the suburbs. We've got people way out on the south side, people on the north side. They're really scattered all over the metro Des Moines area.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we have Joe Stevens, the founder of JAPA Outreach, on the phone with us. And as far as your ministry, okay, you provide, you know, some basic, you know, help meet some basic needs. Do you have much of a chance to share the gospel with these folks?
We do. We are a presence ministry, if you will. So what we do is we model Christ's unconditional love by spending time with people and being present with people. And when you do that, it's that unconditional love. We're all about unconditional love and not being judgmental.
Sure.
And it's that unconditional love that gets through the heart and the shackles and walls that we build around our hearts. And if you've experienced homeless, you've typically got some of the, you know, strongest strongholds around your heart that you could imagine. And it's that unconditional love. People say, well, why are you spending time with me? You know, why do you care about me? What, you know, eventually they start to wonder, or they get into a situation, an emotional significant event, or they get into a health situation. And at that point, there's an opportunity. And we encourage folks to share their faith, our volunteers to share their faith with people when the time is right. But we don't go out and try to, say, get people to come to our church. We're an interdenominational ministry, so there wouldn't even be one church we would want people to come to.
Sure,
we're not there to try to have them pray a prayer of salvation and then check that off on our on our sheet and then never see them again. We're in it for the long term, to build a relationship and to be there with them through the thick and thin.
Great. How many volunteers do you have serving with you right now?
We have about 300 volunteers that are serving on a monthly basis that have a role. Most of our staff is volunteer as well. We have 1.5 people on staff right now, but we have several things, you know, one-time events and other things that people show up for. So in 2013, I don't have my metrics yet finished for 2014, we had nearly 2,000 volunteers contribute almost 25,000 hours.
Fantastic. And what are some different ways people can get involved?
Well, we have, being a large organization with volunteer-based, we have a number of roles, everything from, you know, behind-the-scenes things, such as getting ready for outreach or trying to find more properties, more vacancies that we, affordable housing, to helping people with jobs, to even things like communications, you know, our newsletters, our website, all of that kind of stuff. And, of course, we've got all the frontline stuff. We've got folks making meals. We've got folks sourcing supplies. People do supply drives. We do outreach. We do aftercare. So we have a winter heat team that goes on Saturdays. We're always looking for more nurses for our street nursing ministry, which goes out during the weeks. And so, really, if somebody has interest and they've got some availability, we'll find a place to get them plugged in.
Great. And where can people find out more about Joppa Outreach?
Certainly on our website, joppaoutreach.org. And we have both information, and there's a number of videos there that people might watch that that I think would be compelling and interesting to folks. And or they could call my wife, is our volunteer services director, Jackie. And our main number is 288-5699.
All right. Great. Well, we appreciate it. This is a very vital, you know, need in our community, and I you know, thank you for
off to you, Joe,
for reaching out. And it's definitely not easy work, but it's definitely needed work. And it's thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus.
Praise God.
And thanks for being on the show.
We'll be praying for you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This
thanks,
is
Kevin. Thanks, Shane.
You're welcome. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. You've heard me talk about how Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management got my business insured when no one else could. But Tim also insured my home and my family's automobiles. And just the other day, Tim told me that he had a three-week stretch where he saved three different local families $1,000 per year or more on their insurance. And he said this is not an uncommon thing. So naturally, I said, sign me up for that. Tim Hibbing is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
You're running late and tempted to disobey that no-walk signal. Waiting can be frustrating. Conflict is like attempting to cross a busy intersection. You really don't want to step off that curb carelessly. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and you're listening to Pause for Peace. We like to use Pause Principle by Peacemakers Ministries to help people make those critical steps towards reconciliation. We find that they create a safe structure in the same fashion as a crosswalk provides the parameters for a safe trip through traffic. Another benefit we find with the pause principle is that it reminds us to slow down and take our time to evaluate the situation before moving forward. If you find yourself rushing into the traffic of conflict, please give us a call at 515-635-5465. Crosswalk Ministries is a safe place to make your steps towards God and others.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Fortress Wealth Management and Insurance Services in Ames. Call Tim Hibbing at 515-290-9000 for all your insurance needs. Welcome back. And there was a wanted to talk about briefly the straw poll. This weekend, the State Central Committee, Iowa Republican Party State Central Committee, will make a decision on whether the Ames straw poll is a go or not, and they'll actually produce a date, which, you know, we're getting kind of it's going to at least be 8 months, you know, at the very farthest out, it will probably be August, I'm certain. That's generally when it's always been.
But the Des Moines Register, Jennifer Jacobs wrote an article on the pros and cons of the Ames straw poll, and she kind of, I have to encourage Jennifer to look outside of the Branstad wing of the Republican Party for feedback, even though she does have Steve King and Bob Vanderplaats, but everybody else that's state-based anyway, it seems to be from the Branstad wing. Things to note. Jeff Boink, who was the former Branstad chief of staff, he's against it. He said, "I strongly oppose the continuance of the Iowa straw poll in its current form. The participation rate is so small," I'm assuming he means by candidates, "that it creates a likelihood of a skewed result that doesn't well reflect the opinion of Iowa caucus goers." "Why not bring technology into the process?" Brian laughs. This is serious. Into the process.
Well, what he just said is completely nuts.
Yeah, well, here's
Shane, you and I have been there.
Yes.
Is there anything about that looks underrepresented to you?
No, not really. Past two straw polls, there's been some candidates that have decided not to come. They've still been on the ballot. Mitt Romney invested probably an unproportionate amount of resources to win the Iowa straw poll.
Did I hear you just say
that? Didn't have that queued up. Yeah, sorry. He sucks. And I have a feeling we might hear that later on during the show. Anyway, he basically bought it. Michelle Bachmann bought her win, and that's ill-advised. I would not encourage any candidate to invest that much resources. I have suggested finding ways to fund the Iowa straw poll outside of, without it being on the back of candidates. I think that discourages campaigns that maybe don't have that much money from participating.
You saw guys that didn't have a lot of money participating there.
Yes. And it also and if we find ways to somehow discourage candidates from buying people's way in, because that does skew the results. Here's what it does do. It helps winnow down. And this is, I think, the usefulness of the Ames straw poll. One, it's just a fun event, and it's a good way to get to know the candidates.
It's a great event.
It's a great event. Two, it winnows down the field. And I think when you have a crowded field, that is helpful. We need that. Okay. I'm sure the establishment doesn't like that, because it's usually the conservative candidates get winnowed down, because usually you have a gazillion conservative candidates running and one or two establishment guys. So the establishment loves that, because we divide up the vote. And so that's why I think, Mr. Boink and Mr. Albrick and Tom Latham, who once Tom's suddenly, now he's not in Congress, is spouting off about the straw poll.
He needs to go find his
Chris Rantz. There are some concerns about the Ames straw poll? Yes. Are there, I was going to finish reading. Why not bring, Boink, he said also, why not bring technology in the process and create a secure process that will allow Iowa Republicans to participate in a straw poll on-site or through secure electronic portal using a smartphone or tablet. You could take a 30,000 projected turnout and increase it to more like 100,000. And in the creation of the portal, you could use that as a tool to collect valuable voter data from Iowa Republicans that could legitimately be used to build a party. I think that's a fantastic idea.
The jury's still out for me, pal.
Well, no, as far as you, but it could be an awesome tool for vote. Let's talk about that. I think that's an interesting idea, and I hope the Republican Party of Iowa discusses it. It should be on the table.
Well, I think one thing that needs to be articulated by the governor or by the folks that are anxious to see the straw poll in its present manifestation changed. I need them to tell me what they want it to look like, because, the governor said something about having a fun summer event. Well, okay, great. So is this just going to be a picnic or what? How about fleshing that out a little bit and telling us what you think it should look like?
Exactly. Well, and then I want to read, Christopher Rantz, a former Iowa House Speaker and founder of Sioux City-based Insight Communications, said, "If a candidate were to ask me for advice, I tell them no. It's too high risk and high cost with very little reward. What did Romney get for winning it? What did Bachmann get? What did Pawlenty get for trying? I think it'll be easier than before for candidates to bypass the event. The real danger for Iowa is that if we cause some to skip the straw poll, that does also lead them to skip the caucuses, which I think is a bunch of bull hockey. You can fine, skip the straw poll. Well, you may not go to the straw poll, but you're still going to be part of the straw poll. That was a decision, I think, a good decision on the part of the Republican Party of Iowa, that they still included people, candidates who weren't physically there. But if you're using that as an excuse to totally bypass the state, you're just trying to bypass Iowa evangelicals. Let's just be upfront about that. You don't think you're going to win here, so you're not going to play. But it's amazing.
That's really the bottom line.
It's amazing how they come back then during the general election if they win the nomination and expect Iowa evangelicals to toe the line and vote for them.
At the end of the day, what's happening here is that we've had a number of folks that are not happy with the results of the straw poll. Their people are not, you know, consistently, you know, winning. That's really the bottom line.
And here's the thing. Drop the pay to play. As far as getting, if you're spending all your money buying people to come, we don't really get to see a true representation of your grassroots and your organization ability. Okay? That's the whole point with the straw poll. That's why it was, you know, Mike Huckabee, it's acknowledged in 2007 when Mitt Romney won and Mike Huckabee came in second. Mike Huckabee was the true winner because he outperformed.
Mm-hmm.
He came in second, and he probably
It
created buzz. Rick Santorum performed better than expected. And guess who won the last two? Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So
feature that.
Yeah. So on one hand, I would agree with, you know, Chris Rance. I would advise candidates, don't spend a ton of money on this. And I hope the Republican Party of Iowa will work with campaigns to try to lessen the cost to encourage more participation. But frankly, I think some people are just worried about just the outcome of the vote.
That's it, exactly.
I see it more as an opportunity to get to know the people and come out. Where else are you going to go to where there are 20,000, 30,000 Republicans milling about?
The criticism has been that the straw poll results do not reflect the actual, consensus of the Republican voters in Iowa. That's what they maintain.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here saying,
not right. Yep. Sorry, folks. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, we've got a few items of merit here to speak with regard to our news rundown, which are starting on a little early today. This particular item we're talking about is the notion of being tough on crime. And the thing about it is, especially in conservative circles, we talk about being tough on crime all the time. And I have no problem with that. The difficulty here is that if you're going to be tough on crime, you also need to make sure you got the right guy.
Absolutely.
And this particular story that's from WNBC TV out of New York City, this came out in November. Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that just makes you crazy. There's a guy by the name of Richard Rosario. He is now serving his 18th year of a 25-year-to-life sentence for murder, even though 13 witnesses gave him a solid alibi, telling authorities that Richard Rosario was with them 1,000 miles away. Not down the street, 1,000 miles away. 13 witnesses giving this guy a solid alibi that he was 1,000 miles away at the time of the crime. And nonetheless, he gets convicted based on the evidence of two supposed eyewitnesses in New York City that picked him out of a mugshot book.
Oh, my goodness.
And Rosario had given the police the names, addresses, and phone numbers of these 13 people in Florida, mm-hmm. that were going to give him this alibi.
You didn't run through the resume of some of the people who gave alibis. We're talking a sheriff's deputy, a pastor, a federal corrections officer. These aren't exactly like, you know, it's not like he's listing off pimps and drug dealers
exactly.
And prostitutes. I mean, you know, these are reputable people.
But nonetheless, that list of 13 apparently has been ignored other than by Rosario's court-appointed lawyers.
Oh, gosh.
And so I mean, by the time they get this all sorted out, they may eventually figure out that this guy didn't do it. But by that time, he probably will have served his sentence already because he's already in year 18.
Yeah.
And he's only got to do a minimum of 25.
Yeah, provided he does get parole.
Right. But still, I mean, this reminds me of something we had in Caffeinated Thoughts about 4 years ago. The guy's name in this particular case was Ron Williamson, convicted of murder in the state of Oklahoma. He was convicted in 1988 of a really brutal murder in 1982. He gets convicted on just some really pathetic circumstantial evidence.
Yeah.
And he serves until, let's see, from 1988, he serves from 1988 until 1994. He was actually sentenced to death. Mm-hmm. And literally 5 days before his execution, the Innocence Project finally convinced somebody to look at DNA evidence, and he was absolved of the crime, and he was let go. But by that time, the guy's life was... he just had all kinds of mental problems and physical problems, and he died shortly thereafter. Oh, so it really didn't have a happy ending. But if you read the details of that case, it'll horrify you because it was absolutely a joke. Williamson had a friend whose only connection to this crime whatsoever is he had been seen with Williamson in a bar the night of the crime. For that, this guy got a life sentence. Williamson got death. This guy gets a life sentence. And the only evidence they had on him was that he had been seen with Williamson in a bar the night of the crime.
Now, Rosario, DNA, I mean, is there anything other than these two eyewitnesses?
I haven't dug into this deep enough to tell you how much else they had, they couldn't have had much. The guy's 1,000 miles away.
True. And I will say this before, you know, the segment's done. The American justice system, I firmly believe, is the best in the world. And I would hate to face charges such as this in any other court system in the world. But it is not absolutely perfect. People do make mistakes. Basically, you have a jury of flawed individuals.
Right.
Okay. Nobody's perfect. Nobody has, you know, omniscience. They don't know all the facts of a case. But it's horrifying when you have 13 alibi witnesses brought forth and they're ignored. I just don't understand that.
The problem is, well, there's more than one problem, but one of the problems is everybody involved, whether it's the cops or whether it's, you know, the county attorney or district attorney or whatever the case may be, their job is not necessarily to find the truth.
It should be.
I realize. But at the end of the day, as a practical matter, their job is to get a conviction.
Yeah.
Make an arrest on somebody that looks good for the crime, get a conviction. And that's their number one goal.
And that's sloppy. Justice is not served when that's done
way. Because of that, there's an enormous pressure for everybody to, you know, to plea the thing out. And that happens all the time. So you got a lot of guys going to jail, you know, with a plea deal, you know, because it was either that or something horrible beyond imagination. Yeah, exactly. So even if they're innocent, they take the deal. That's our system.
Yeah, and that needs work. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff house, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. You've heard me talk about how Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management got my business insured when no one else could. But Tim also insured my home and my family's automobiles. And just the other day, Tim told me that he had a 3-week stretch where he saved three different local families $1,000 per year or more on their insurance. And he said this is not an uncommon thing. So naturally, I said, sign me up for that. Tim Hibbing is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Crosswalk Ministries. Check out Scott Owen. He offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Call 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. And make sure you let him know that you heard about him at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. So, in the news, we're extending our news that hopefully you can use in the news. Vice President Joe Biden is a dirty old man. Do we need to say anything else?
Well, maybe we should say a little bit more.
Maybe a little bit more than that. Okay. All right. He's just entertaining. I love him. Crazy Uncle Joe. I can't imagine what the White House would be without him right now, because he gives us things to write about and talk about. So I appreciate it. Ryan's like looking at me. But it scares me to death to know he's a heartbeat away from the presidency. Yeah.
Well, May Catherine Ham in Hot Air wrote
a Mary Catherine. Mary Catherine.
Well,
you wrote it wrong, Brian.
I didn't write that wrong. That's cut and paste, pal.
MK Hammer. She's not make. It's Mary Catherine Ham.
Huh. Anyway, she's got a great quote from a piece she wrote in Hot Air. And she wrote this after that series of photo ops and so on and so forth connected with the swearing-in ceremonies. She says, I know he's crazy old Uncle Joe. I know he's lovable and of a different generation, blah, blah. I know he wears aviators. I know he has a voting record and a party identification that make this kind of behavior suddenly charming and eccentric instead of creepy. But while the online feminist community is fighting the scourge of men who don't cross their ankles on the subway with all it's got, the Vice President of the United States is making teenage girls actively uncomfortable by nuzzling and touching them on national television.
This is not charming, she writes. And we agree. It is not charming.
And we know who he was talking about, too, because what happened was, first of all, the Ernst family walks up there, and he gaffes up, instead of calling Senator Ernst Joni, he calls her Gail, which is Joni's husband's first name.
Yeah, which I'm sure just, you know, makes Mr. Ernst very happy.
Yeah, so I mean, straight away, you know, he does, but the guy's a gaffomatic, so that didn't surprise anybody. But then he reaches over and grabs, I'm assuming this is Joni's daughter, grabs her, pulls her over there, and, you know, puts his arm around her. I mean, it was just terrible.
Yeah. Oh. I've talked with Joni's daughter. I haven't seen the pictures, but I'm sure it's the one that's always with her when she's out campaigning. And I'm sure she's probably thinking, gross. But she had to smile and bear with it a trooper. So, to Ernst's daughter, we salute you. I can't think of her name off the top of my head. I should know this. That's sad because I've talked with her a couple different times. So anyway.
Next item, we've got the American left still in denial about Islam.
Yeah, it's just amazing how everybody's like a Muslim apologist when stuff like this happens.
Well, Andrew McCarthy wrote a great piece at National Review, and let me just read a real quick section here. It says, as night follows day, progressive governments in Europe and the United States are already straining to pretend that this latest atrocity is the wanton work of, quote, violent extremists, unquote, utterly unrelated to Islam. You are to believe, then, that Barack Obama, David Cameron, and Francois Hollande, and their cohort of non-Muslim Islamophiles are better versed in Sharia than the Muslim scholars who've dedicated their lives to its study and have endorsed such scholarly works as Reliance. Let me repeat what I have detailed here before. Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State did not make up Sharia law. Islam did.
Yep.
We can keep our heads tucked snug in the sand, or we can recognize the source of the problem.
Wow. Absolutely. I mean, it was the cartoon that they... It was some of the things printed in European newspapers and magazines that are anti-Islam advisable? No. Are they always in good taste? Absolutely not. Do people deserve to die over them? Absolutely not. And just to trip over yourself and say this is not Islam, please, please, somebody show me, and I don't mean go back to the Crusades. I mean in the 19th and 20th century, show me where Christians, when they've been offended by their faith, by somebody being, you know, heretical, and there have been quite a number of examples of people being heretical. I remember the National Endowment of Arts actually pays for some of these things that we deem, you know, with taxpayer money, we deem heretical. I don't see anybody shooting, going, you know, on a shooting spree. I don't see anybody firebombing, you know, offices of people supporting this stuff. I don't see, you know, let's strap on a suicide vest and let's issue a death decree to people who offend Christians. No. But you do see this all the time with Muslims.
Well, and one of the issues here is the insanity of trying to somehow disconnect Islam from these terrorist acts. Now, I don't dispute that not every person who's a Muslim is a terrorist.
Absolutely.
I don't dispute that.
Yeah, that's...
Duh. But to suggest somehow that these folks are all operating in a non-religious vacuum is just a denial of reality. I mean, Howard Dean was saying it the other day, these Paris attackers are not Muslim terrorists. Well, what are they then? I don't get it.
We'll just ignore, yeah, okay, they're just terrorists. Their faith has... Please, 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 please point out to me a Christian terrorist who's actually actively doing... And don't say IRA, okay? The Irish Republican Army, that was a political thing. That has really nothing... That had nothing to do with Protestantism versus Catholicism. That was not a religious war. There's so much more going on underneath the surface in Northern Ireland. Has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, okay? Absolutely nothing to do with our faith. Gosh. Here's the thing. Islam and the Quran lifts up violence towards pagans, towards the infidels. Christianity, Jesus says, turn the other cheek, to love your enemies.
Well, this really is detailed pretty well in McCarthy's piece. He taught, you know, he shows multiple places in his piece the connection between the religion itself and the violence.
Yes.
That's the part people don't want to talk about. And, you know, but it's there. We can deny it from now until the cows come over the hill. It's still there.
Yeah, it is. Well, moving on. Boehner, Speaker John Boehner is still Speaker.
Yeah.
But that's not surprising. It's so hard to unseat an incumbent speaker, especially when his party still are, you know, they're still the majority party. But he had more people vote against him than I think has happened since like the 20s or something like that. So there was definitely a movement, but they needed, with the full House contingent being present, they needed 29 Republicans to vote against Boehner. They didn't have to vote for any one particular candidate, just vote against Boehner. However, you had a number of Democrats missing for Mario Cuomo's funeral, and you had some who were out because of inclement weather, so they didn't get there. So he could have actually had a lot more Republicans vote against him and still been okay.
Well, and I certainly ballot. Understand the frustration that people have.
And the whole idea was to get more, to force it to a second ballot where hopefully more people would peel away. Because then you got blood in the water. And the people who are suddenly, who are going to vote for Boehner is like, you know what, maybe it's not so politically, you know, difficult to vote against him.
But between the Cromnibus thing and then John Boehner's reelection, there's definitely some understandable angst.
Absolutely. I get it. Absolutely. Anyway, we're stuck with him for 2 more years. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
You're running late and tempted to disobey that no-walk signal. Waiting can be frustrating. Conflict is like attempting to cross a busy intersection. You really don't want to step off that curb carelessly. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and you're listening to Pause for Peace. We like to use Pause Principle by Peacemakers Ministries to help people make those critical steps towards reconciliation. We find that they create a safe structure in the same fashion as a crosswalk provides the parameters for a safe trip through traffic. Another benefit we find with the pause principle is that it reminds us to slow down and take our time to evaluate the situation before moving forward. If you find yourself rushing into the traffic of conflict, please give us a call at 515-635-5465. Crosswalk Ministries is a safe place to make your steps towards God and others.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff house, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640 and they'll send you a couple of guys. Romney's back in the news.
Romney, he sucks!
Romney in 2016 just gives me goosebumps. I get that thrill up my leg, kind of like Chris Matthews.
Yeah, I tell you what, buddy, like we were talking earlier, I'm actually looking forward to this. This is going to give us a lot of fun moments on the show if this guy runs.
Absolutely. So please, Mitt Romney, do run. And actually, run, I hope, and Jeb Bush will run, and I hope Chris Christie gets in. And any other moderate squish that wants to run, because for once, I would like to see the establishment moderate squishy wing of the GOP have their vote split up.
It'd be kind of fun to watch all three of those clowns at the straw poll.
Oh, yeah, yes.
It'll never happen, but wouldn't that be
never
great?
Never happen, because Romney will definitely not participate. And Jeb Bush, I mean, I wonder if he's even going to show up in Iowa. Chris Christie will probably be there. I have to give him props. He's been coming to state. I disagree with him on a lot of different issues. I think he's I'm still not entirely sure how he's Republican, but you know, other than he runs his mouth and he's And he has verbal exchanges with teachers' unions, which are enjoyable to listen to.
He is fun to watch when he has to debate those guys.
But policy-wise, he's a train wreck. There's nothing. Yeah. There's no there.
But you know, going back to Romney, we originally said no way is this guy going to run. It's not going to happen. But here he is having a meeting the other day with his 2012 staff. It begs the question, okay, if he's not running, what was that about?
Well, you know, thank them for their service, you know.
Right.
3 years ago? I'd like to know, why are you, you know, dipping back in the same barrel? If you're going to run, at least, gosh, change it up some. I mean, because he
changed the oil.
He carried over a lot of the same people that ran his first campaign. And first guy that needs to go, I wish I could remember his name, but the guy that coined, as a blogger, I loved it because, you know, Mr. Etch-a-Sketch Romney. His communications director is the one that came up with that. And I'm like,
beautiful.
That's the gift that keeps on giving. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm like, he should have been fired on the spot, but they kept him.
All right. And from the You Can't Make This Stuff Up department, Pastor Walter Houston of the Fourth Missionary Church in Houston repeatedly refused in November to conduct a funeral for a longtime member, Olivia Blair, who died recently at age 93. Because she had come upon hard times in the last 10 years and had not paid her tithe. Ms. Blair's family had supported the church for 5 decades, but Pastor Houston was defiant, explaining, membership has its privileges. Gosh. Isn't that a line right out of the American Express commercial?
No doubt. And
so anyway, the family eventually found another church to hold her funeral.
And I'm sure another church to attend if they still family members were still going there. Pastor Houston, I think you're confused about the, you know, tithe is all about. And
you're a church attender or probably member for 60 years,
and I would suspect,
and you don't get a funeral.
I would suspect that, you know, she didn't tithe because from 83 to 93, I can't imagine she was making much money, huh? You know?
Feature that.
Wow. What a jerk.
Anyway, that's why we call it You Can't Make This Stuff Up.
Yeah. Dude, I think you need to find a different profession because, yeah, you're mega fail in pastoral ministry.
Yeah. And how would you like to have this all over the news?
Oh.
Okay, our quote of the day is from Francis Schaeffer. Truth carries with it confrontation. Truth demands confrontation, loving confrontation, but confrontation nonetheless.
See you next week. This is Cap Nate, that's Radio.
See you, everybody.